This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Art Place America works to position arts and culture as an important part of community planning and development. The executive director of Art Place America, Jamie Bennett, will be the keynote speaker at the Cincinnati Preservation Association's annual fall forum later this month. His presentation is going to be on how incorporating arts, culture, and historic buildings and community planning promotes urban vitality. And Jamie Bennett joins us this afternoon, along with Architectural Foundation Executive Director Steve Sendelbeck and Cincinnati Preservation Association Executive Director Paul Moeller. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jamie, Paul, and Steve, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks so much, thanks. Mark.
Yeah, Mark, thank you.
Jamie, what makes it so important to include the arts and culture and community planning and development? How does this promote urban vitality?
Sure. Well, the way we've tended to talk about why we came into existence as an entity, as Art Place America, is if you look at the history of community planning and development in this country, it's done some incredible things. But I think everyone would agree that there's a lot of work left to be done, right? There aren't sort of nothing but utopias stretching from sea to sea across this country. And one of the reasons that I think we've not yet done everything we can do is that there are many kinds of people in a community that are systematically left out of that conversation. One of those kinds of people are the arts and culture sector, are artists, are culture bearers, are the people who sort of create that in the community. So it's important to get them to the table, and once you do, those folks are uniquely positioned to help other people come to the table as well, so that we can get sort of the full spectrum of folks in our community dealing with the full spectrum of opportunities and challenges in front of us.
Jamie, if you call this creative placemaking, and if I understand, the creative part doesn't refer to the places they're being made. It's talking about the process. Is that right?
That's exactly right. So if you know, for any of our urban planners that are listening who know Jane Jacobs, who have their copy of The Death and Life of Great American Cities, you know, next to their bed or that they've read, they know that the word placemaking refers to community planning and development that begins with the human, right? It begins with the person who lives in a place. It's locally informed, so it doesn't look the same in Cincinnati as it does in Columbus, as it does in Los Angeles. And it's comprehensive and holistic. And all the creative is doing is inviting artists and arts organizations to join their other neighbors in that work. How can we come together to constantly be making and remaking the places that we all live and work in together?
And Paul and Steve, I'd be interested in your perspectives on the importance of getting the arts and culture incorporated into community planning and development.
Yeah. Well, I think what Jamie just said about making and remaking the places you are is where there's an intersection with our built environment. A lot of the activities that get sponsored by creative placemaking and engaging the arts and culture happen within existing urban environments. And in Cincinnati, we're really fortunate to have so much of that to build on. And there are a lot of people pursuing these ideas in Cincinnati. People's Liberty is doing a number of really creative, innovative ways of engaging artists and the built environment. The Five Points Alley work that Walnut Hills Redevelopment is doing, they're using a space that has creative activities as a way to reimagine a neighborhood. So, you know, we're really excited about bringing Jamie here to show how this is being done nationally and to talk to us about what more we can do here.
And from my perspective, if you look at other cities and you think about things that are memorable there, art is always part of that experience. If you think about Chicago, you can't help but think of the new plaza in Millennium Park with the bean sculpture that everybody has to come and see. Art just completely enlivens the experience for the people participating in these spaces, and it makes it something unique to the area.
Jamie, Steve was pointing out the Chicago project. What are some other examples of this type of approach nationwide?
Sure. Well, let me just back up for one step and just make one link to sort of the world of historic preservation and adaptive reuse. And when my predecessor in this job, a woman called Carol Coletta, who now works with the Kresge Foundation, was interviewing then-Mayor Cory Booker of Newark, and she said, you know, Mr. Mayor, what is the hardest part about being a mayor. You know, being mayor is an incredibly difficult job. Every day you come in, there are many difficult things that you do. What is the single hardest part? And he thought for a minute, and he eventually said, getting people to believe that tomorrow can be different, right? And I think arts and culture is uniquely positioned to help people imagine a different tomorrow, to help people sort of spark their creativity to begin thinking about what they might build together. And if you think of a lot of our cities, a lot of the small towns across America, oftentimes there are abandoned historic buildings that sit at the center of them. So, for instance, in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, the very important building downtown related to the paper mill in town. That was the chief industry in town. And when that industry left, that building was also left abandoned. So all of a sudden you had this sort of vacancy at the site, at the center of a town, that used to be where everything important from that town was generated, where jobs, where community, where all of that. So a group of artists have gotten together and they are redoing that abandoned building as an arts and cultural center for the community to come together. We've seen a similar project with the Quoddy Tides Institute Museum of Art in Eastport, Maine. We've seen projects. There's an amazing organization called Art Space that works to develop affordable housing for artists. And in New Orleans, they've redone the Bell School. In New York City, they've redone PS 122. And again, you had these schools that were centers of their neighborhoods, right? Back in the day when we all went to the school in our neighborhood, that sort of gave us our identity, that gave us our center. And when things changed so that the schools were no longer needed, having that vacancy, that sort of block-wide vacancy sitting at the center of it, can put a real damper on a community. So reimagining, reactivating, and using that space as a way to excite people and bring people together, I think is hugely important. So we've seen it in every kind of geography and every size of community, you know, literally from coast to coast in this country.
Paul, how are we doing here in terms of preserving architecturally interesting buildings?
Yeah, well, I think we've something very wonderful has happened with preservation in Cincinnati, and I would say the last 5 years, maybe a little bit longer. But we've moved from being one of the cities that was known as the city that did the least with the most of their historic buildings to actually being a national leader. What 3CDC's done in Over the Rhine is nothing short of spectacular. An entire neighborhood is being revitalized. People are returning to the city. The census tracts with the oldest buildings are the ones that are going up. Even downtown in south of Central Parkway, a lot of our Class B office buildings are now being converted, many of them using the historic tax credit. And then in terms of incorporating art into that, we have these wonderful institutions in town like Artworks, which is taking sides of buildings that have been sort of exposed by demolition or just neglected and putting pieces of the neighborhood, you know, cultural displays of really clever interpretations of what the place is about at a building scale murals around town.
Steve, can you give us an example of a local structure that was built using this idea of art and design and culture?
Well, I think it's hard not to point at the Netherland Hilton and the Kura Tower and the integration of art in those two buildings, from the murals that were incorporated to just the bas-relief sculptures on the building. It really, art became an important part of the expression of those spaces, and that you can see today they're still very favorite icons for everyone in the city. Everybody loves to go to the hotel.
I'm going to say, great example, Steve. That's where we're hosting the Fall Forum on October 21st in the Hall of Mirrors. That's where Jamie will be presenting all of this.
And Jamie, you know, Steve just hit on an interesting point, because that's not a new building we're talking about. So is this an idea that has been around for some time and is just now being rediscovered?
Absolutely. So, you know, artists have been at the center of sort of helping us make and remake our community at least as long as recorded history, right? So if you think of the Caves of Lascaux, the earliest sort of recorded history, the boundaries of that were actually pictures and images of our collective experience. So artists were literally drawing the lines of community. In ancient Greece, the theater was not only the physical center of its community, but it was also the center of religion, of government, of society, you know, all of that. And really what the label creative placemaking is meant to add to that history is to bring us more firmly and to invite artists and arts organizations more explicitly into the community planning and development conversation. And I was listening a little bit to the previous conversation on food waste and food issues, and it was so interesting when the one woman talked about the fact that you're less likely to waste food if you have a connection to it, if you understand its history, if you're part of that farm-to-table movement. And I think in terms of adaptive reuse and historic preservation of buildings, the exact same thing is true. There's this amazing organization called Partners for Sacred Spaces that works nationally to preserve purpose-built houses of worship. And their whole theory is that if they create more on-ramps for the community to engage in those spaces, not just the congregants, but also other folks, people will become invested in those buildings and take care of them. Right? Historic preservation isn't sort of about preserving empty buildings in amber for everyone to look at. It's about us actively engaging with it. So, you know, whether it's, and I can't quite remember, Paul, I think People's Liberty is in a former furniture store, right?
Yes, yeah. That's right at our market, too, for the food tie-in there. But yeah, Findlay Market, right. It's at the end of the head house.
Right. So, you know, right there in Cincinnati, between the hotel and People's Liberty and the market and all of that, there are lots of amazing examples of people creating new reasons to engage with buildings and places that have been in our community for a very long time.
Yeah. And there's an interesting parallel to that. And, you know, you sort of have the community planning, the forward-looking new ways of doing this with, you know, light projection on buildings, like Blink is going to be next year, which the Hale Foundation is doing along the entire streetcar line, Photo Focus, which is going on right now for the month of October with photo displays at dozens of sites. But we're also taking care of our older art buildings. The Music Hall is being restored with an exceptional restoration. Union Terminal, which incorporated art and the murals into every square inch of the building. And the Terrace Plaza, a building that's been empty for a number of years, was built in 1946. It was the first modern building to incorporate modern art as into its theme. It had Calder, Miró, and Saul Steinberg were all commissioned to do original artwork woven into that building, and it's on the cusp of coming back as a restored building.
And because Paul touched on Union Terminal, I mean, it's really remarkable to look at what's gone on with Union Terminal over the past 30, 40 years, and the number of times that building has gone into disuse and ran the risk of being demolished. But the passion that the public has for that building has to do with the art of the building itself as well as the art in the building. And we're even right now, we're dealing with the issue of these wonderful mosaics that were moved to the airport when they tore down the concourse at Union Terminal that now are being temporarily relocated to the backside, the west side of the convention center. But it's just a temporary location. It's an incredible collection of mosaics that's unparalleled in the world, and we need to find the right permanent location for it. And that's one of the things our two organizations are talking about how we kind of create a focus on making sure that they don't get forgotten on the backside of the convention center.
Steve, tell us a little bit more about your organization.
Well, the Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati really focuses on promoting awareness of the quality of the contribution that architecture and design makes to the quality of life in our community. We look at everything that's built. We've kind of moved our focus away just from architecture to the built environment in general, how we impact space, how we create external spaces that become external living rooms for people to come together. We're a little different in the sense that we certainly care about the historic buildings. We don't have the focus that Paul's organization has. We're really looking at architecture in general. So we care just as much about what's new today, what's coming tomorrow, as well as what's happened in the past.
And Paul, a little bit about the Preservation Association.
Well, we're over 50 years old. We celebrated that a few years ago. And we're a not-for-profit historic preservation advocacy group. Recently, we've also moved into a much more active role in helping people renovate their buildings. We don't want to just lie down in front of the bulldozer. We want to help people realize the intrinsic value that are in these historic structures and find ways to get them cared for and restored in creative and new ways. And our fall forum, which Jamie is coming to be our speaker for, has been going for dozens of years. Margaret Valentine is the chair of that. She came up with this concept years ago that we needed to expand the boundaries of preservation. So last year we had someone talking about walkability and how that enhances a city. We've done cultural historic landscapes. And this year we're really glad to add this component of how art brings vitality to historic places. And we really hope people will come to that. They can still get tickets at our website or by calling our phone number.
And what is the website, Paul?
CincinnatiPreservation.org. And our phone number is 721-4506. It's a wonderful event in the Hall of Mirrors. We're very careful to get people in and out on time because it's on a Friday afternoon. We hear that from a lot of people. But we also hear that every year there's really great content, and it opens people's eyes up to new ways of looking at the city and preservation. And I'm sure this year Jamie, you'll be extending that for us. Thank you.
This is Friday, October 21st, right?
Yes.
At noon. Jamie, can you talk some about, with this approach of creative placemaking, how do you measure the success of something like this?
Sure. So I think one of the things that we tend to fail at in philanthropy is that conversation on measurement and evaluation. Because in a effort to sort of make our lives easier, we want to measure the same thing and we want that thing to be relatively easy to measure. And so we tend to try and force projects towards a one-size-fit-all approach. And I don't think fundamentally that works as project evaluation, right? Each of these projects is trying to do something very different. And so I think you need to bring in a measurement framework related to what the project is actually trying to do. So, you know, in Detroit, Michigan, there's a neighborhood called the Livernois Corridor, which was sort of the center of fashion and commerce historically. And like much of Detroit, it's seen its population hollowed out and a lot of the businesses go away. So the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation came in and partnered artists with small business entrepreneurs and had them do pop-up businesses all along the corridor, and the artists sort of created the settings for that, right, sort of lighter, quicker, cheaper, and brought attention to it. The success of that project is going to be measured over the next 5 years by the economic development of that corridor, how many businesses actually put down roots and make a go of it. Something like that, I think, is very different than a project like in historic Weeksville, which is a neighborhood in Brooklyn that is a historic. It was one of the first free African-American intentional communities that was ever built, and it was sort of lost to history just as society became more integrated, the need to have separate African-American communities, intentional and independent, became less important, and it sort of got swallowed up by Brooklyn just by people developing and growing naturally.
And so Jamie, unfortunately, we've run out of time.
That's what always
happens when you have an interesting conversation. It just goes really fast. So Jamie, Paul, and Steve, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thrilled to be here and look forward to being there in October.
The Cincinnati Preservation Association's annual Fall Forum will be held at the Hilton Netherland Plaza Hotel's Hall of Mirrors. Again, that's Friday, October 21st at noon. And you can find a link to more information about that at WVXU.org.